title is Who Draws the Line with Irrefutable Matters. And the reason why I put in parentheses with irrefutable matters is because we know in Romans 14 it talks about disputable matters. With disputable matters, everybody's going to have their feelings or say on certain things, and they're meaningless. They're things that you may feel one way, I may feel one way, and they have nothing to do with our salvation. But with irrefutable matters, things that God makes very clear, God has to say. Now, I should be able to end it there, but the reason why I must explain it is because we've allowed, and I'm talking about the Christian church, this to be a thing. We've allowed it to be a topic. We are now, once again, through our itching ears, looking for churches that will agree with us on irrefutable matters, but not be in agreement with God. Okay? It should be this easy as, if the Bible says it, that's the answer. But there's a reason why that's not the problem. Look, there's a question I have to ask at the top of your page if you turn your bulletins over. The question is, are we repeating history? Are we falling into the same trap? What trap is that? In Judges 17, verse 6. Judges 17, verse 6. It was a time where the Israelites were basically falling, and they were falling into their own sinfulness. As you can see in Judges 17, verse 6, it says, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Now I ask, are we falling into that same trap? Because even amongst Christians, we'll have conversations based on this, how I see it, not on what he says. Okay, and like I said, it should be a no-brainer. We should sit down with discussions, the Bible opens, there you go, answer's there. But we'll give people, and once again, as Christians, we're supposed to be one body, having disagreements because we want it all to be what we see it, not what God says. Because we want to see what's right in our own eyes. This is why walking by faith is so necessary and not by sight. Sight is very dangerous because I'll see some things and I'll use my key reasoning and I'll go, wait, this is okay. Even though God clearly says it's wrong. Do y'all get this? Let's look at something. I made a chart here and I'm going to show you indisputable topics, things that the Bible is very clear on, but I'm going to show you the church's stance. I'm going to kind of give you a history on the church briefly, and then I'm going to show you if the church is right or wrong. And the only reason why I know this answer is not because I'm some brilliant man, it's because the Bible tells us. Look at the first one, roles. Roles is something we barely talk about today. It's something that's slowly going away because we think everybody can do everything just as good as everybody else. And I'm doing what I want to do, and you do what you want to do. As long as you do, we all can do it. And look at this. This is the church stance was the church followed what the Bible said in the past, but they added their own rules. That's where the church really messed up. They did go with roles, but they overdid it in some cases and underdid it in others. Now, abandoned it for the most part. Roles are non-existent, even though it's a very strong, powerful characteristic in the Bible. So is it right or wrong? The Bible shows it's wrong. The church is wrong when it comes to that irrefutable topic. Look at abortions. Church is against it. Church is right. So far, I haven't seen the wavering. I think the church, for the most part, stands on that being a bad thing. It should not be done. Relationship with the world. The church partners and tries to improve with the world. You see the church looking more like businesses and not being a church. Churches are structuring themselves more like the world. And as the Bible shows, it's mostly wrong. Our relationship should be with the world is to minister to it, period. There should be no partnerships at all with the world. Ministry leadership. This is anyone felt called can lead. In fact, that's what we're doing the most times now. You feel called, say God has called you, you're a leader. Start a church, go ahead and do it. That's anybody. And that's how the churches are doing it. Churches are giving it to anybody who says they're called. You don't question why they're called and all that other stuff. Once again, mostly wrong, as the Bible puts it. And all of these things are good for you to look up, things for you to check and say, okay, we know where you get mostly wrong. They're in the Bible. Same-sex relationships. Church is against it, but you see the church slowly changing its mind. The world sees it as the church becoming compassionate. Hopefully you're seeing it as the church becoming wrong. It's saying, against it, but changing. It was right, but getting wrong. Church is going in the wrong way when it comes to those relationships. They're unacceptable. God has never, ever accepted them. Okay? You are not to be mean to them. You're not to treat them bad. But you're not to accept that relationship. How about divorce? The Bible said, you shouldn't do it. But if it happens, it happens. That's what the church is doing right now. It happens. You know what I mean? In fact, when we counsel for marriage, we don't tell them the danger of, you do understand this is eternal. We tell them, go ahead and try. If it doesn't work, go ahead and leave. Church is wrong. And dangerously, dangerously wrong on that topic. How we treat those with more. We like to lure in people with stuff, with money, with connections, with all that stuff. And we treat them better. I told you, I seen a thing on a church radio station. They said, if you give this much. So in other words, if you give more. You're a platinum member. You give less than more. You're a gold member. You give less than more than you're a gold. You're a silver member. All the rest of you, thank you for giving. You get this? Some are reason you're better, so you're going to be this extra better. Is that how God sees it? We already know. He said that the woman who just gave her 2 pennies gave much more. She should have been a platinum member, but she would have just been, well, you know, you could have kept that. Unfortunately, so the church is wrong. Treats those with more better than others. And how we treat those living wrong. How do we treat those living wrong? The church today treats some with hatred and give others a pass. In other words, we'll let certain wrongs, like we just talked about same-sex marriage, we'll talk about them, we'll beat them up and give them a hard time, but then you have couples as Christians living together, and we kind of give them a pass. Say nothing. What's the problem? Wrong. Now, I put these, and there's, of course, many, many more, because the question is going to come when God questions us, our answer should be, your word says. It should be as simple as that. Even today, as a pastor, when somebody comes to me and I can counsel them and I show them what the word says, then I start getting a reason. Well, I thought, and I was thinking, and they go into this long, drawn-out thing that has nothing to do with the Bible, and when it's done, I have to come back to, but the Bible says. It should be as simple as that, but we've allowed ourselves to make excuse after excuse to be caught up in this thing that is misleading us to do what's right in our own eyes. And it's pulling us further and further away from God. Now understand that the line is blurred because though we have the truth clearly given to us, we still follow the teachings of men. If you get the right person who say the right thing to you, you are intrigued and you will follow. The Bible shows in Mark 7, 6-8, he says, he replied, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you hypocrites, as it is written. He's saying, now this is what I'm seeing. And he's coming to the church at the time. And he's saying, this is what I'm saying. He's saying, these people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. The reason why you know that is we can sing a beautiful song like we just sang. And people can feel it, and you can feel, man, amen, and I'm going to stand in the power of Christ, amen? But then we go out in the world, and we're still cursing people out, still having attitudes, still living depression, still living, right? We still have all this stuff, but you just said, with a heartfelt and all the feeling in the song, I'm going to stand in the power of Christ. So you honor him with what you said, but your heart or your purpose, far from it. And he says, they worship me in vain. We could have got a million people singing that song. It could sound as beautiful as ever. And if there's no meaning, it meant nothing to God. You could have got a bunch of people or 5 people singing it off tune who really meant it and they worship. You understand that? Because once you mean it, it will be displayed. Just because you say it. And he says they worship me in vain. He says they're worshiping me as if they're not worshiping me at all. Why? He says, their teachings are but rules taught by men. You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men. Now look at 2 things he's noticing there. You have let go of the commands of God. So in other words, we know what the Bible says, or we should know, but we're not searching that, and we're not holding on to them. He says, you have let go. But look what he says here. You're holding on. So first we went and got what somebody said. We liked what they said. Man, we're holding on tight to it. We're hearing things that men are telling us, and we're clinging to it. It's so much deep in the church. You have churches following these traditions, and if you were to ask, why do you do that? Well, we've always done that. The answer should be, oh, well, because the Bible says. It's, oh, we've always done that. And we stick with that. He was like, because you're holding on to these things, man said, be careful. Because like I said, I should be able to come to you, or you should be able to come to me, and we should be able to question every aspect of your life. And you should be able to go, oh, I do this because the Bible says. I do this because the Bible says. I'm following this because the Bible says. Y'all see that? Every ounce of everything you do. The minute you give me, well, you know, my mom said, or my dad said, well, I saw somebody do. I read in a book. Now you're walking on thin ice. You're in danger. Do y'all get this? Okay? Because Jesus could have done that to Satan, but he just continually went, it is written. That's what he kept showing us. It is written. The Israelites were severely punished for following their surroundings instead of God. Here, look at this example in Ezekiel 11, 9-12. Ezekiel 11, 9-12. He says, I will drive you out of the city and hand you over to foreigners and inflict punishment on you. You will fall by the sword, and I will execute judgment on you at the borders of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. This city will not be a pot for you, nor will you be the meat in it. I will execute judgment on you at the borders of Israel, and you will know that I am the Lord. Why? For you have not followed my decrees or kept my laws, but have conformed to the standards of the nations around you. We have people here that are more American than they are Christian. Come on. Right? We'll hold on to other cultural things, once again, than we are Christian. There are certain things you'll know about where you came from, what your family does, the place we live in, right? Than being a Christian. How is it when we go somewhere else, they'll ask me where I'm from because they know my accent? Maybe how I do things differently. People in Harrisburg do things different than people in Pittsburgh. And you go down the list of all these things. They see that, but why don't they see our light? Because we've grabbed onto these customs. How we do our hair, how we wear our clothes, all these things. Man, we make sure we got that right. Nobody says that anymore out here. I'll say something to my kids, they'll go, you don't say that. They don't say that anymore. And I said, well, obviously they do, because I just did. And they walk away from me with their heads covered. Amen. And that's fine. But we make sure we know that, those trends of humans. But what about the real trends of life? And he said to them, he says, I am going to now put judgment on you because you chose not to do it. Do y'all get this? We have access. Do I put more time into getting to know God and his ways, or do I put more time in to know everything else? And that's the problem. Faith is so important because the way it seems can end disastrously. Seems. Everybody say seems. It says in Proverbs 14:12, there is a way that seems right. He's saying, I'm telling you, God's making very clear, I know there's a way that's going to look absolutely right. He was like, there is ways that you're going to see it. He says, to a man. That's the key. It seems right. To a man. He left it up to us. Seems. That's exactly what Satan did with that apple. Or with the, sorry, not apple, fruit. In which he continued to push that towards Eve so she could see. And this is what happens to us today. We walk around with our emotions, our feelings and everything to where we allow that to engage us. And we'll go, I know the Bible says this, but now he got you. Right? Yeah, I know the Bible says this, but you got there. I said it's done. Because it says, but in the end, it leads to death. What he's letting you know is you'll go through it and it'll look like it's working. I did this and let me show you what it did. You know how many times I'll get stuff like that, which in a relationship or something like that, I'll counsel them and say, well, we did this fast and we followed this, and I'll go, but that's not the Bible. I know, but it worked. And they'll say it excitingly, like, look, I did this. And it worked. I'm like, that's not what we're supposed to be looking for. You're not supposed to do stuff to see if it works. That's all Satan wants. Remember, this is his playground. He'll let it work in order that it ends disastrously. Does that make sense? Or I'll let it work now. Any anybody who smokes or drinks or anything that they do at that moment, it works. It'll comfort them, make them feel good at that moment. In the end, man, I wish I would have never done it, is what they'll say. I wish I would have never touched it. Right? And it's only because, at the moment, seen. It looked like it worked. And that's a problem. So we must recognize that God is sovereign. What sovereign means, he's supreme. What he says goes. Now, so in other words, don't come and prove to me that it works. Don't come and say to me and try to describe to me how you think it's going to be the better solution. All I need to know is, did God say it or not? And that should be your line for everything you do. Does everybody get that? Everybody should have that same thing, that I must recognize if God said it, that settles it. Right? Even if I see everybody else doing this other thing and other things seems to work, God told me to do this. It's the hardest thing, I ain't gonna lie. It says in Romans 9, 14 through 16, it says, what then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. Now, do you notice something he does here? He says, is God unjust? Not at all. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. It does not therefore depend on man's desires or effort, but on God's mercy. He didn't explain his answer. Did y'all notice that? When it says, is God unjust? Not at all. That was his answer. He's basically saying, you don't know what true unjust is. The answer is no. It may seem unjust to you. You just better trust him. God is going to, has done, and is continuing to do stuff that we're going to go, it makes no sense. And if I go off of sense, I'll leave God, which many have done. Churches are more and more now molding themselves to make God this more sensible God. But he's not a sensible God. He's a spiritual God. Does that make sense? Okay? So he's giving you this thing so you are grasping him spiritually and accepting what he does. Just like when he says this here, he's basically saying, no, he's not unjust. And he basically made this term, I'm going to do what I'm going to do because I'm God. And he even goes as far in Romans 9, 19 to 21, says, one of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? If he's going to do this, then why does he still blame us? And look how he answers this. For who resists his will? It says, but who are you, O man, to talk back to God, which we tend to do over and over again? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? He's basically saying, you can't get it. You're going to have to trust him. He is God. If he does it, it's right. You accept it. Today I still hear, we was watching a television show, and it was a horrible thing that happened to this family in which they lost their child. And when the child was missing, the man said, I made a deal with God. When he found the child was dead. Now he said, myself and our family have not gone to church. I think it was 30 years. It was some long time. They haven't gone to church because of your child. And when the newscaster asked why, and he said, I made a deal with God. God didn't keep his part of the deal. Now, on a human sense, somebody would go, I understand that. That's what's dangerous. Each and every one of us in here, if you're not spiritual, you're in danger of that. Something could happen in your life and you'd leave tomorrow. With the mindset of, I'll show you God. Not realizing you're killing you. Satan's walking right behind you. Yep, show him. Amen? And you think you're proving a point because you're spiritually ignorant. Amen? Do y'all get this? This is why we have to trust him. We have to lean on what he says. Because God is the answer. When he gave this, he gave this to us, and it should be something we have up on our walls, we understand this, and the key word in this is the. In John 14, 6 through 7, John 14, 6 through 7, Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. Now, once again, I keep emphasizing that because I go looking the answer to give you the answer. That should end it. You should go, okay, that's what the Bible says, amen. We don't like the answer. We want another answer. We're hoping it's a answer. Right? Okay? When a person says Christians are so narrow-minded, absolutely yes. Yes, we are. There is only one path. That path is narrow. Y'all get this? There aren't multiple ways to get to God. There is only one. He just said it here. I am that way. I am the only truth, and I am the life. Everything else is fake imitations to make you think. It may be a door, but it's not the right door. May be stairs, but it's wrong stairs to get there. Do y'all get this? Okay, I can give you a path, or I can give you the path. Right? And this is where we have to get an understanding. He says, no one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do not know him. You do know him and have seen him. Because our focus and everything is in Christ. So now, how do we know where the true line is then? So we have this answer. How do we know this? How can we now be clear from this point forward? First of all, we are to fully trust in God even when it doesn't make sense. We are to access his answer even when we think we are right. Read this and I'll explain it. Proverbs 3:5-8 says, trust in the Lord with all. Everybody say all. What does that include?
Everything.
Everything. People know that I love this verse, this selection. Why? It was an eye-opening thing for me. I was like 18 or 19. Change really still didn't happen until I was like mid-20s. But 18 or 19, when I read this, I kept reading it, and I was like, ooh. And it caught me off guard because I was this guy who thought I was really growing into my intelligence, but then again, I was this Christian growing. So I thought they went hand in hand, not realizing they were clashing. Why? Because I'm getting smarter and I'm knowing things better. And I was reading books from people doing the same thing. And I listened to these brilliant people. And I said, man, I want to grow into that. And I'm watching them, not realizing, no, there's a problem here. Because when it says trusting the Lord with all, I have to disconnect me. Because there were paths I was taking that I was sure this has to be the right way. It made all the sense in the world. I did all the research. I could show you the numbers. It made sense. But then I read the Bible and it said, no, do this. And I said, well, he must have got something wrong. There has to be something wrong. Because he says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. But then he made it clear to me when I thought he had something wrong. And lean not. Everybody say not. On your own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In other words, he already told me, keep your understanding is meaningless. I had to take a step back and go, oh, wait a minute. See, this is where some people, they're, and I noticed this even when I give a sermon. You'll get stuck if you don't understand it. You'll stop. If you don't get it, you won't go any further. I was like that. That makes no sense. Then I'm done. Now, the preacher's still preaching. I'm not taking notes, so I'm sitting there going, it doesn't make sense. So I missed the whole entire sermon because it didn't make sense to me. I was leaning on my own understanding. My only thing should have been this. You give me what the Bible says. Okay, good. Don't make sense. No, it doesn't make sense. No, it still doesn't make sense. God, it doesn't make sense. I got to study this because it doesn't make sense. Now I'm going to go into it. Still doesn't make sense. Sense, get out the way. What did you say, God? Got it. Y'all see how that works? We keep leaning on, but the way I feel, the way I see it, shouldn't it be? He said, lean not on your own understanding. And then he says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him. Key word, all again. All your ways, acknowledge him. Everything you do, check with God. And he will make your path straight. So I check with him. Then it makes it clear, do not be wise in your own eyes. This is something I had to really grasp also because in what I think is wise, I found that it's some of the most stupid. Do you understand? Some of the people the church has allowed to be leaders in the church has put the church in danger because we're following their intelligence, not their spirituality. Do y'all get this? There are some brilliant people who are actually fools. Based on what the word says. I'm not allowed to call anybody a fool. You understand that? Based on what the word says. Because he says their foolishness is in their wisdom. They'll say things that sound brilliant, not based on God's word. And we follow them. We build organizations and situations based on them. And we keep going after them. He says, do not be wise in your own eyes. But this is what we should see. Instead of us looking for this very short person who comes up and gives you a concept that you're supposed to follow, he says, fear the Lord and shun evil. You should look for somebody who's coming up here and being very careful to give you God's word. Y'all see the difference? Very careful. Not somebody who's explaining to you that I've been around and I knew this and I understood this and I have all the understanding. No, you want somebody who says, and God's word says, let me check and show you what God's word says, period. Doesn't matter where I've been, what I've done. It has nothing to do with it. It is God's word says. We're going to follow what God's word says. Do y'all understand this? He says, fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. So it shows us in this. That's the first thing. I have to fully commit and trust in him. That means totally let go of me. You're going to see and understand things a certain way. Let go of that. You got to let go of that. That's why it went from 18 to my mid-20s before I got it. Because I went through that stumbling of, okay, I have to know that I know this and I have this together and something must be wrong. And so I finally said, you know what? I'm just going to do what he said. It took that many years. That's crazy. Secondly, we must make sure our wisdom is totally based on God. And that's where I was telling you the ones that we have the church are running based on foolishness. 1 Corinthians 3:18 through 20, do not deceive yourselves. Remember, deception is a choice. Do not deceive yourself. If any one of you thinks he is wise, watch this, by the standards of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. Now, if I went and said, let's go gather leaders of the church, you'd find some brilliant men with degrees who came from organizations that had backing, had money, and had all this other stuff. Then if I showed you the disciples, you maybe had two educated people. Right? Two educated. And these were the real leaders of the church. Now, we still pursue the education, the brilliance, and all this other stuff because the standards of this world expect it. And no way am I bashing the education of the world. I'm just not revering it. I'm putting it in the place that it belongs. By all means, go to school. But first and foremost, you seek God. Does that make sense? The reason why our kids are in danger is not because the school is teaching them nonsense. It's because we're not preparing our kids to know the difference between nonsense and godliness. Do y'all know the difference? You see what I'm saying? We want to blame school. Teach them this. And then we as parents don't know it. Because we got so mixed up in the world instead of us realizing, wait, this is sacred. This is godly wisdom. He was like, if anyone thinks he's wise by the standard of this age, he should become a fool so that he may become wise. And that's the part that doesn't happen. Do y'all see this? They missed that part. It says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. The people that we usually follow, fools. If you think about it, they'll tell you something brilliant. They'll tell you something that they wrote down on paper. They'll tell you something that sounds great. And God's like, why are you listening to that foolishness? But they wrote this and it was their thesis and they wrote this and they wrote, you know, this book was published and people were following it. And God's like, where did I say it? Well, you didn't. Then why are you listening to that foolishness? Do y'all get this? Okay? When we get to the sermon, you're going to see something, hopefully, that understands what our only main protection is. And it still blows my mind how people still go chasing after other things for protection. We'll talk about it. But this is the wisdom of this world is foolishness in God's sight. As it is written, he catches the wise in their craftiness. And again, the Lord knows what the thoughts of the wise, knows that the thoughts of the wise are few. Meaningless. In other words, they'll have these things, they'll put all this stuff together, and in the end, you're going to go, I wasted my time investing in what you told me and reading all this mess, and all I had to do was follow God. Do y'all get this? All right? Very important for us to get this, because you're going to have some people that are going to, life is going to hit you, you're going to have people that are saying things to you, even your own self. You're going to hit things that are going to make sense, and you better immediately go, let me check with God. That should always be your answer for everything you do. Let me check with God. Every time I've done that, more than not, it came back to where what I was getting ready to do was wrong. Man, I could prove it to you why I was going to do it, but when I read, I'm not supposed to do that. I'm like, why? Because then I couldn't do what I wanted to do. But I'm going in the right way if I follow what he says, because he is the way. Like Jesus, we must make God the foundation of our judgment. I've told you, look what he says here in John 8:15-16. John 8:15-16, he says, you judge by human standards. Stop there for a minute. He's absolutely right, isn't he? Okay? When you judge. Now, we love, because people love the one verse, don't judge, lest you be judged. We stop that, so then people immediately go, we're not supposed to judge. Usually shows ignorance in the Christian when they say that.
Because they didn't read the rest of the Bible. They read that one verse, they're like, oh, you can't judge me. Now, when I talk about you, it's something different, right? But no, no. We are supposed to judge those in the church. Look at 1 Corinthians 5:11 when you get a chance. But it shows us that. We are to judge those in the church, but not pass judgment. But not just judge. We have to judge righteously. Judging righteously means, what is my foundation I'm standing on when I make my judgment? And he says, you mess up because you judge by human standards. What that means is, where you got your, if I'm right or wrong, came from a man. That's what he's saying. In other words, you may have a group of people that agree on it, but did it come from God? What you're basing this on. It says, you judge by human standards. Watch this. He says, I pass judgment on no one. This is Jesus Christ saying, I pass no judgment. In other words, he's saying, you'll never hear my judgment on anything. But watch what he says. He says, but if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. Let me clear that up. He's saying, you'll never hear me judge. Only thing I'll give you is what God says about the matter. And I'm going to stand in full agreement with what God says about the matter. Amen? I've seen people watch things. They know what the Bible says about it. But man, you feel so strong about it, you fought and you went the other way. Instead of going, but God says, and left it there. Do y'all get this? Just give what God says. That's what Jesus said. You'll never hear my opinion on this. God says. Did y'all catch that? God says. As simple as that. That answers it. It solves it. It will bring us together as a body. God says. So finally, we must all realize God draws the line. The final answer, and the answer, the beginning answer, the middle answer, everything to the answer, is God draws the line. Romans 3:3-4. Romans 3:3-4 says, what if some did not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? He says, not at all. Let God be true and every man a liar. As it is written, so that you may be proved right when you speak and prevail when you judge. Now, what did he start off? He says, what if some did not have faith? He's saying, so what if, and we're in a time, this is why it's called terrible times, where you have more that lack faith. So that's why certain things in the Bible, people are going, yeah, God doesn't care about that. 1 Corinthians 11 talks about hair. It's a topic that comes up. And we're like, God doesn't. I'll hear more ministers look at me like, they believe in, is what they'll say. And I'll always say, help me with this. Isn't this what the word says? Yeah, it's because. And they'll give me this reason, and I'll simply go, sounds great. Please show me where it says what you just gave me as your answer. I never got an answer. Never. However, them not walking by faith will all agree this is foolishness you're talking about. Even though what we're reading is in the Bible. Y'all see that? Even though it's clearly there, we still go with the concept of what makes more sense. That's why he says, let God be true and every man be a liar. My answer to it is, if everybody disagrees with me, that's fine. As long as I'm sticking with what the word says. Y'all get this? All I can give you is what God says. I'm not going to give you some meaning of why you don't have to follow it. I have to give you what he says. And then I got to step back. And that's why you have to have faith to follow it. That's why he says, what if some do not have faith? Will their lack of faith nullify God's faithfulness? God's saying, no, I'm going to keep doing what I'm going to do, but your lack of faith is what's keeping you from him. Please make sure he's the answer to your every question. He is the guide to your every path. Amen? And everything that you do. All right.